B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop. There.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Fourth and final hour. Zolak and Bertrand, Hardy in for Zoe. Sarge is here today on headline 617-779-0985. Let's get back into it. We've got plenty to get to here in this final hour. We have a lot of things on our list of things to get to today, Hardy. I'm afraid we won't get to them all here in this final hour.
That's good. That's the best kind of show. I can't even get to everything here.
I can't do it.
You know what's going on today in sports?
What?
Nothing. We have tomorrow's show, too.
That's true. There's nothing
going on
today.
Not even the ESPYs.
The ESPYs were sort of a dud last night. Not even that feels good anymore. Can I raise a quick question about the ESPYs?
Did you watch any of the ESPYs?
I did.
Oh.
How was Tracy Morgan? Good?
Not good. I'm not much of a Tracy Morgan... I'm not a huge Tracy Morgan fan. So, I don't know. I don't think the crowd was really into Tracy Morgan, the crowd that was there.
I think it's a tough room, too.
I don't think he got much of a reaction. So, there's that. I just don't think that's the best setup for him. Like, his best setup is when he's in, a sitcom type of thing. Like, when he's in shows. When he's been in shows, he's funny. When he's playing a role, I think he's funny. But anyway, that's a side thing. Here's my question. When Paul Pierce is in the room last night and Kobe Bryant is on the stage delivering the speech and setup for the Arthur Ashe Courage Award for Bill Russell, how does that make Paul Pierce feel? Because it was sort of awkward. And can I ask a question? Why is it that we still have to listen to Kobe Bryant do anything in this world?
And he's got a show on ESPN.
Why is it that Kobe Bryant gets treated like some guy of character for any reason?
That's why. Because he's got a show on ESPN.
Why is it that Kobe Bryant gets to stand up there on stage and deliver a Courage Award for a man that has a whole boatload of character and a guy like Bill Russell? I mean, if we're going to talk about character, am I supposed to sit there and pretend that Kobe Bryant has it?
Patriots brought him in to speak to the team last year, right?
Which I found remarkably stupid, to be quite honest with you. I mean, that was ridiculous. You want to be a fan of Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, be my guest, whatever. But if you want to get into the department of, the good guy awards, I ain't giving one to Kobe Bryant. And last night's award was one of those good guy awards. It wasn't for Bill Russell, the basketball player. That was for Bill Russell, the man. And he is a guy who deserves one of those awards. Okay? Without a doubt. I don't think anyone is going to argue with that. And they gave him a hell of a nice presentation. And if you watched last night the ESPYs and you saw the piece that they put together on Bill Russell's career off the court and all that he has done off the court in his lifetime, you'd know why he was deserving of the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. And so I just thought it was weird that, number one, Kobe Bryant is the guy you choose to deliver it. And number two, Paul Pierce is in the room. Like, what? You can't? Why don't you let Paul Pierce do it? Why don't you let a Celtic do it instead of a Laker and Kobe Bryant? Like, I guess the statement would be that Kobe Bryant has some sort of relationship, as he called him, his mentor. He has a relationship with Bill Russell. Paul Pierce has a relationship with Bill Russell as well, I believe. At least we've been led to believe that over the years. On some level, he does. Maybe Kobe Bryant is closer, or maybe ESPN is trying to sell you something that they do with Kobe Bryant. You're right, Jim. He has a show on ESPN. Therefore, they have to use their branded guy.
And if that's the case, Pierce is no longer on ESPN. He's done with that NBA countdown and pregame show. That's it.
He's not on the...
His contract is up?
Well, they're not bringing him back for the pregame or postgame for the countdown and, you know, coverage game day stuff. That was it for the finals. Him, Michelle Beadle, and Jalen Rose, they're going to have a brand new
That
cast.
Was announced?
Yeah.
I don't think it was announced, but it was reported.
Well, it's written. Yeah, excuse me. Not
so
formally
it's been
announced,
reported that Paul Pierce is done at ESPN.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Not done, but just maybe if he's got time left on his deal, it's going to be repurposed.
Yeah.
His deal could be done or it's going to be repurposed.
After 2 years.
Okay, then. Well, maybe that played a factor, and if it did, then shame on them. But that was, I just thought that whole thing was awkward. But great job by ESPN putting together the piece on Bill Russell and giving him an award. It's not the highest achievement that he's ever received, but good nonetheless. At least they've gone back to giving the award to deserving candidates. People that have actually accomplished major things in their lifetime. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. Started off the day talking about Bud Selig admitting in his book that he engineered the sale of the Red Sox to the current ownership group. We'll still keep that in the mix. We've also talked about the Celtics and their first round picks outside of the top 10. And I also wanted to get this into the mix, which quick update on this from yesterday, which is the situation with the Bruins currently in free agency, Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that they've got two free agents now in Charlie McAvoy and Brandon Carlo, two defensemen, and they've got $7.35 million of cap space to do it. That's not enough to sign both guys. We all freely admit that. We all agree on that, correct?
Yes.
Not enough money for both guys. You need more money. Got an email yesterday from Matt. Matt says, I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about. I should stick to football, stick to baseball, shut up about hockey. Basically, that was his email.
All right.
So I emailed him back and said, well, if you've got a take on this, why don't you give me your take? Instead of just telling me to shut up, why don't you give me your take? What? He did. He emailed me back his take.
Good.
And so now I will give you his take.
Okay, what is it?
And he's telling me to basically relax, that I shouldn't be concerned about someone stealing away McAvoy or Carlo. Matt saying, this is his email from Matt. He says, McAvoy and Carlo are both RFAs, and that is very important in terms of their designation, because in the NHL free agency market, if they're signed away, the signing team is going to give up significant draft capital. In your assertion that McAvoy is worth $8.5 million a year on a shorter term deal. It's not exactly what I said. He's twisting my words. Correct, Artie?
I don't remember you saying that.
I didn't. He's twisting my words, but I understand why he did that. We'll get back to that.
Okay.
He says, see chart below, you would be taking two first and a second and a third round pick. This is a haul from a team that is not in the top 15 teams in the NHL talent pool. None of the good teams have any real cap space. Those picks are coming from a minus caliber team. The issue for good teams is they largely have the same issue with their RFA players, and that's why the offer sheets are so rare. Only one offer sheet deal in the NFL, in the NHL, that is, so far this year. The Ekblad contract, by comparison, is silly. All GMs but Florida thought the deal was absurd. If you know NHL contracts, it's still a huge outlier. Not to be used as the comparison, as he only got that deal. He was a number one pick overall. He's bigger, faster, and more skilled than Chucky. While I know McAvoy is the future, his RFA status means he will be in the $5 to $6 million range. Mm-hmm. Carlo will also sign a bridge deal. The Backus contract is untradeable, as it will cost the Bruins a top prospect that they don't really have, or a first-round pick in order to get rid of it. The Heinen deal was sadly needed, but they didn't go to arbitration, as he would have been over $3 million based on number of games and points at his level of service time, which I said yesterday, and I totally agree with. The number is a good number. They got him at a good number. A deal now is smarter, as you wouldn't have been able to sign him at 3.25 or 3.5. He would have then become a free agent, and you get nothing for him, leaving a big hole in the lineup. And then he says, why don't you bring in Ty Anderson for hockey talk? Again, another shot at me. Anyway, he lists the compensation. Do you know what the compensation is for up to $6.3 million a year?
Hmm.
A first and a third, which is doable, is it not?
Yeah.
From 6.3 to 8.44 or 8.45, it's a one, a two, and a three if you were to try and steal away Charlie McAvoy.
Gotcha.
So it goes up, it goes from one and a three to a 1-2 and a 3, which becomes a lot more. It's pretty significant there and would be a lot to give up. I don't discount that. And they could also poison, you know, they could do the deal. It's not just about the money and the capital. They could do it so that the Bruins don't want to match. It's about, do you want to give up the capital? I agree with that. This goes back to my other question, though. The Bruins still don't have the space. Where's the space coming from? Even if Charlie McAvoy is a $6 or $6.5 million a year player, who are they getting rid of to do this? And it's not going to be, and these are all good points that he raises, except for the fact that I didn't say he's worth $8.5 million a year. You can listen to the podcast, 98.5thesportshub.com. Where's this space coming from? And how are they dumping it? And what do they have to do to dump it? And when they then create that space, if there's another hole in the roster, how are they filling it? And who is it going to be? And if this all happens, how much worse is the team going to be next season than what they were last year? These are all real relevant questions about what the team will be.
You can't afford to get that much worse and still expect to have anything close to the run that you had. I mean, you were gifted early playoff exits of the Lightning and the Capitals. So you can't afford to miss a couple of pieces that you might see as just, you know, what they are, just pieces, but not real contributors. Well, those pieces were the guys that, you know, in some cases ended up getting you as far as you got because your top line scoring went away. And it's tough to determine, you know, who is going to be the next integral part of this team. It could be, you know, one of these forwards or even someone who's a third pairing defenseman that you're relying on that you can't expect at this stage. And if it's not about next year and you're fully in control of what I believe is the fact that you lucked out by having a couple of teams dismissed from the playoffs for you before you had a chance to play them, then fine. If it's not about next year, then go ahead. Don't worry about, you know, trading away a couple of those pieces to make some extra room or whatever it is that you do to create the space. I'm just saying be careful with what space you create and what players you're willing to move to do it because you might need those players. You needed just about everybody last season to get as far as you did.
617-779-0985. So that's a quick Bruins update on the Bees. We'll continue mixing in your calls and everything from the day as well, but that is a thought on Bruins free agency. They've got two guys to sign. They don't have enough space to do it, and they're going to have to make some space to get all this done. All right, 617-779-0985. We'll get back to your calls coming up next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Telephone number. Update from the Houston Texans, by the way. They made it official. In case you were wondering if they were going to hire a GM. I wasn't. I didn't think anybody was. I don't know why this all of a sudden is news again, but it is. But I guess it's news because when Adam Schefter reports something, it becomes news. He decides what's news. He writes, unless he has a new deal. Oh, sorry. I read the wrong tweet. Damn it. Hold on. Gonna go to the other Adam Schefter tweet in my notes. Please hold. Please hold. Scrolling. The Houston Texans are not hiring a general manager for the 2019 season, and instead will divvy up those responsibilities among existing front office members such as Matt Bezergen, James Lipfert, Chris Olsen, and Jack Easterby per league sources, but no GM in 2019 for Houston. We knew the part about no GM for 2019 in Houston. Now he knows who they're divvying it up amongst. Four of them all together, going to come together, have a brain trust. They will have a Houston Texans brain trust. Four of them will join up and become the GM while they wait for Nick Caserio in 2020. It is so obvious what they're doing in Houston. That was reported yesterday afternoon by Adam Schefter. That is exactly what is happening there. That's the latest out of that situation. I have zero doubt that Nick Caserio is going to rush right out the door as soon as that draft is completed next spring and go right on down to Houston and run the Texans.
You still want him here for the draft, huh?
Me?
Yeah.
No. No, I'd figure a way to get him out of here like tomorrow. No, I'd get him out of here now. So I think, I don't know if you were here, Jim. Was there, I'm trying to remember. We were talking about it again. And there was that detail that they had talked compensation and couldn't agree.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that. And I think that's a mistake. I'd hammer out compensation. I'd go back to that table and keep doing it, but it appears that they've already tried. I'd keep trying to get something because you can either have him for the year and you want to let him run things, but at the end of the year, he's going to walk. You get nothing for him.
Just ask for Clowney. He's the reason all this happened anyways, right?
There's a disagreement. The head coach of the team did not want to sign Jadeveon Clowney. Bill O'Brien didn't want him on a long-term contract, and the now-fired general manager did want him on a long-term contract, and that apparently was a big part of the disagreement as to why the GM was eventually fired. So you want to ask for... You think that's fair? Ask for Clowney?
It's not fair, but if O'Brien doesn't like him...
That's true. If he doesn't want him, if you don't want the guy... If he's not
part of it, sign his big extension, clear all that cap space up, and then get Clowney.
Maybe that's what.
It would have been dumb to sign him to a contract based on the franchise numbers and the way that they have him over a barrel the next couple of years. The way that, I mean, they don't have to sign him to a Aaron Donald type of contract.
Right. The Patriots could have him for 1 year and let him walk. Be like, yeah, hey, 1 year rental. Thanks for coming.
But the pass rushers are getting $20 million a year plus, right?
Yeah.
The franchise number is 19 for him or something next year?
It's massive.
Yeah, 19 for a franchise number is not bad for 1 year. Because he's playing under, 16 this year, and then it goes up 20%.
Yeah. 617-779-0985. Brian's in Winthrop. Hi, Brian.
Hey, how we doing, guys?
Good.
Just one thing on the Bs. I do think they need to shed a little bit of cap space, but not too much because Charlie McAvoy can't be offer sheeted right now because he didn't play three full seasons. So he doesn't really have much leverage in the contract negotiations.
Is that right? Do I have it wrong?
You have to play three full seasons to be offer sheet eligible on your entry level.
All right, perfect. Don't even have to worry about that.
Good.
Don't even have to have that as a problem. Does he have that right? I want to double check that.
All right. Please. I'll double check.
Please. John is in Plymouth. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up?
So, obviously, your number one contract move for Bruins is going to be David Backes, correct? Seeing as he's kind of useless for a $5 million player. But if David Backes is not going to be the guy to go, because you look at Phil Kessel and they finally got him over to Arizona off the Pittsburgh, financing, because I feel like they wore him down. If David Backes is not going to be a quick move, is there another person that's going to be a cap move for re-signing the rookies here and they're kind of like the re-sign stage of the NHL season right now?
Another player that you would consider moving? Is that your question?
Yeah, it's like, who is the other guy? If David Backes is not going to be a quick move, is there another financial decision you can make to make more cap space to re-sign McAvoy? I think also Brandon Carlo needs a contract as well, right?
Yeah, the thing with Backes, too, and I think we talked about this, is that he's not going to have a lot of cap impact. If they bought out in the second window, the Bruins would get $333,000 in cap savings for the coming season. All the while incurring cap hits of $3.7 million in the 2020 and 21 season and $666,000 in the 21 and 22 season and the following season. So I don't think there's a lot to be gained by that anyway. But in terms of other guys, that's the danger you get into with this team. Who is it that is the one that's tradable when you have issues with, you still have issues with top line scoring? You know, when it happens throughout the course of the playoffs, and I don't count that fourth game against Carolina when the top line came alive, when you have issues with your top two lines scoring and you're not going to be in the business once again of depleting your defensive ranks, who becomes the tradable pieces?
What about Tom's idea? Trade Backus to a team that needs to hit the floor, the salary floor. A team that's below the salary floor needs just salary. Even if they necessarily don't want Backus the player, they want his salary. Get nothing back for him. Or a fifth round pick or whatever, something lowest possible.
Sure, if you're willing to find that team. Or if you can find that team.
I think everyone would give Backus up for nothing right now, right?
Unfortunately, yeah. Sucks, but if you want to create space, if you want to create cap space that way, that would be a better way to do it. Beatles still trying to find about.
No, it's true.
McAvoy offers.
It's true. It's absolutely true. Fluto Shinzawa confirms this in a story on The Athletic. Yes, I'm reading it now.
Okay,
he's considered a 10.2C player, a 10.2C. That's what he is.
C's for Charlie.
Yep, not eligible for offer sheets.
A lot of people talking about Charlie McAvoy offer sheets that.
But Jay and Natick says he's got it wrong. Jay, does he have it wrong?
I thought so because I thought when they signed him and Donato, I thought it was like both the deals where they played that year, so and it counted towards their first.
Right when
years.
They burned, I thought they had burned a year when they played him in the playoffs in 16.
Right, I absolutely thought they said they did too, but I guess Fluto would know better than I would. But I could have sworn that they burned a year when they played him. It just and then the same thing happened when they got Donato.
Yes.
That's what I was calling about.
Yeah, so let me read you what Fluto wrote back in March. He said, when Charlie McAvoy's entry-level contract expires at the conclusion of the season, he will not be eligible to sign an offer sheet with another club. He will be 2 years removed from having arbitration rights. Technically, McAvoy will not even be a traditional restricted free agent. Because of his 6 playoff games against Ottawa in 2016, the Bruins defenseman will be categorized as a 10-2C player. One who does not have 3 years of professional experience, even after the expiration of his 3-year entry-level contract. The cohort of a 10-2C players is spare but high-powered. They are typically NCAA players, fished from school, partly with the promise of instantly burning the first year of their entry-level contracts. Torrey Krug and ex-Bruin Riley Smith were previous examples. So were former Boston College phenom Johnny Gaudreau, Jaden Schwartz, and Jason Zucker. At a bare minimum, an employer of a 10-2C player needs only to qualify him to retain his services. In McAvoy's case, it would be a 1-year, $971,000 qualifying offer for 2019-20. Take it or leave it. The chance of this happening are nil. Even if the clubs have most of the bargaining power in such cases, they rarely flex their muscles to this degree. It would not be in the Bruins' best long-term interest to irk McAvoy for a short-term advantage. History proves it. So it's more about them agreeing on a longer-term number. But if push came to shove, they could say, yeah, fine, play for $1 million for the year. Take it or leave it. And then he'd say, yeah, I'll take it, and then I'll get out of here as fast as I can. And then I'm leaving as soon as I can get out of here.
Yes.
So that's all it is. They've got a lot of leverage over him then. Oh, it makes me feel so much better about the Bruins. I feel so much better now than I did. Where was that in the email? Hockey guy? It makes me feel so much better. Mike and Woburn. Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Look, even with the leverage they have over McAvoy, Sweeney's still going to have to do something because cap space isn't going to fall off a Brinks truck in the highway in front of him. He's going to have to, you know, create something. With Backus, the other option you can do, and this goes into the you know, Rick James cold-blooded category is dump him in the minors and you save a million. You know, you just if you just demote him and send him down.
Oh, send him to Providence?
Send him to Providence. Hey, it's been done before. Oh. It's been done before with major contracts. Wade Redden was a guy that the Rangers dumped in Hartford for years. For years.
It's like not even enough of a savings to make it worth it. $1 million?
You know what, though? For just for one season, if you have...
For the, honestly, Mike, for the $1 million, I'd rather have him with the team as a depth piece, as a guy that sits on the ninth floor.
I'm just giving you options. The other option is try to move Hartley Miller because his knee's in about seven different pieces, and he's eaten up $2.5 million on your deal. That one, you're going to have to eat some... you're going to have to probably throw in a kicker on that one, too, but not as much as a Backus deal. And then the big one, I think, and the one that kind of looks more obvious as you could see the cap issues coming down the pike is Torrey Krug. Torrey Krug is going to be up after this year.
Yeah, but you can push that to next year. There's a lot of time between now and next year.
Yeah, but you know what? You're probably going to get McAvoy on a 1 year, like they said, one of those 1 year deals just as a bridge year so you could fit him and Carlo in. By the way, the comp that scares me about Carlo is Jacob Chychrun in Arizona, who made $4.6 million for the next 6 years. So if you sign Carlo for that, the defensive core becomes increasingly more expensive. But Krug, look, it's basically what St. Louis did and helped them win a cup. They traded Shattenkirk,
yes,
traded him for pieces, and then they brought back in Shen with the pieces that they traded for Shattenkirk. And that's because that they had guys that replaced him. I'm sorry, but I like Charlie McAvoy running that point as the sole defenseman on that first power play unit better than Torrey Krug going forward.
Well, there are hard decisions coming down the pike either way in the next 12 months. That's what I would say. They're going to have to make some fundamental changes to this roster to decide their future.
Yep.
And it's going to happen in the next calendar year. We've got a couple items that we do want to squeeze in before we get to today's takeaways at 150. One involves sharks, always a fun topic. The other involves the Masters. We'll do both next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sports Hub.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hardy, I just had to ask the question. I thought it was T-Bone that had put the shark video in our Slack thread today. It was actually our intern, Zach, the intern.
Was there any comment from Zach with his initial post?
No, he just threw it in there.
So
no context.
So I'd just be curious, and Zach, you'll have a chance to defend yourself here. Did you put the shark video in Slack as a means to say, whoa, look at this big, nasty shark? Was that your thought? Yeah. All right. Zach banned from Slack. That's what happens.
I'd say revoke his rights.
I it's up to Jim whether or not the Zach Slack ban is in effect.
I don't want to ban anybody from Slack.
Well, I don't know.
Anywhere we can get something for the show.
Jim, I don't know if you heard about the mishap earlier in the week with
I heard about it. Yeah. I heard about it.
Yeah.
With what?
Confusing the guy who doesn't play for the Patriots, Brandon King, with another Brandon King.
Oh. And couple that with confusing Chatham, Massachusetts with Chatham, Georgia. That was last week.
That was my
Slack.
Fault, yeah.
Yeah.
So
it happens.
We've had a couple of pieces of information put in the Slack chain that haven't been truly vetted.
It's not foolproof.
And
no, but good ideas come from everywhere. That's why everyone has access, right?
All right, so Zach
so he puts
something
video,
in Slack.
It's a tweet from someone named Gregory Long that writes on Twitter, Jaws does exist, 25 to 30-foot shark. 5,000 pounds, just making up these numbers. I mean, I don't know who's vetting these pieces of information. Spotted off Martha's Vineyard. Vineyard.
Martha's.
Martha's Vineyard. Hashtag Wednesday Wisdom. I don't know why this is wisdom. And it's a picture of what is clearly, Hardy, for those of us who have taken the time to educate ourselves on sharks and know a little something about sharks. It's not a great white. This is not a white shark.
No.
This is a basking shark.
Yes.
This is a shark that poses no threat to humans. This is not a scary shark. This is a shark that feeds on plant life in the ocean. You got nothing to worry about. You go for a swim right there off the boat if you wanted to. Or Jaws. Don't we call this shark Jaws? Know what you're looking at. Have a clue.
It just pisses me off because there are people who just post on it without taking 10 seconds to read, like, the second comment down, which was, oh, that looks like a basking shark.
Right.
And then people like, you know, from the Shark Conservancy, whatever, and they're saying, yep,
that's Atlantic White Shark Conservancy, great people, Greg Stommel.
Right.
Big fan of his work and his efforts to learn more about the white shark.
That's a basking shark.
Look at the fin. Look at the fin, people.
Dorsal fin.
The basking shark has a rounded fin. You should know this by now. How have you not learned anything about the sharks over the last three or four summers? Come on. Know something.
This is a bigger issue, though, with, like, and I don't want to put on the entire younger generation, but intern after intern after intern that come in here every year, the more and more it's like, oh, look at this story. Oh, did you click on it to see, like, the actual story? No, I just read the headline of the tweet.
Right.
And that's it.
Is this the same intern that didn't know who the Boston Pops were?
No, that's Cam.
Oh, Cam, intern. Okay.
Yep.
No, that's Cam. He also just reads headlines, yeah.
Yeah.
And then what pisses me off even more is that one of the commenters on it says, one of the first comments you see when you click on it is, we're going to need a bigger boat. No, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Why is that so often misquoted?
Because people
are dumb. Have people not seen the movie?
No, they see other people tweet it, so they copy it.
So they've never seen the movie.
It's a small distinction that changes the entire tone of the line. Not, oh, if we're going to kill this thing, we need to go back. No. Chief Brody walks into the wheelhouse, looks at Quint, and says, you're going to need a bigger boat. I'm out of here. F this. Adds to the drama and the intrigue, and spoiler alert, it's Brody who ends up killing the shark.
Do you know what I got?
And Quint dies.
Hardy, you know what I got sucked into again over the weekend? And I don't know how it happened, but every time it's on, for some reason, I stick with it because it's still the original Brody, and it's still Jaws.
Jaws 2?
Jaws 2.
Yeah. It's tough.
It's a tough watch.
It's tough.
It's a tough watch, man.
They show the shark earlier. You know,
it's
all the things that make the first one magical. It's just kind of
gone. But it's
gone.
Still Roy Schneider.
You get that kid who is in Christine and his stupid hat out there on his sailboat. Same kid who was in Back to School. Isn't that the same actor? Is it one of the Carradines?
So I watched some of that over the weekend. Today's takeaways are coming up next, and as part of that, I'm going to tell you why Hardy considered a full-time permanent ban of Sarge from this show. After Sarge brought up today something related to Masters passes and going to the Masters next spring.
Oh, God.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't even heard it. I refuse to listen to his story.
Sarge will share some of that story as quickly as possible in today's takeaways next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Let's sweep up the stage.
All right. Today's takeaway is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss, a proven program that will fit into your summer while helping you fit into your bathing suit. Lose weight starting your very first week. Awaken180weightloss.com.
Okay, I'm going to tell this story quickly for you, Sarge.
Go ahead.
In the middle of a break, Sarge looks at Hardy and says, "Hey, Hardy, guess what? My buddy won the lottery for the Masters, and I'm going to the Masters next year."
"Hey, Hardy, I might be going to the Masters next year."
"What?
Oh, that might have been."
"It was, yeah, it was similar to that."
"You're going to..." "Yeah, he's but, won the tickets, and his wife probably not going to go. He might take me."
"Yeah." "Mm-hmm."
"So your buddy is going to the Masters because he won."
"No, here's a lowdown. My buddy, he has been to the Masters. He won the lottery 2 years ago. Second time he's won the lottery in 3 years. And his wife, lovely wife Meg, and him, congratulations, Eddie and Meg."
"Hardy's going to murder
you." "Shut up.
Hardy's going to murder
their first,
you. Tell the story. No one cares.
First baby what? Girl due in September, and he is not going to be able to go. So he is selling me the ticket to the Masters."
"Even worse.
And that is something practice I cannot turn down.
Practice round or?"
"Practice round.
Tournament round."
"Practice round.
When he went 3 years ago, practice round or tournament?"
"Tournament round."
"Maz, you ever been to the Masters?" "No."
I drove by it this year on the way to the Super Bowl.
"Do you apply for the tickets, Maz, on the lottery?" "No, Maz doesn't even try, which is a little weird."
"Yeah, pretty cool, huh?"
"Oh, yeah, you deserve it."
"Can't wait."
"Yeah, you'll appreciate all of it, I'm sure."
"Who's the other ticket going to?"
I don't know yet. So, Hardy, we can talk a deal if you want."
"Yeah, that's I'm good."
"Okay, no
Hardy,
problem.
Hardy,
you really want to go, right?
Hardy, would you go to the Masters if you had to go, Sarge?"
"Not that bad."
"Really? Beggars can't be choosers, Hardy."
"No, I'm not begging.
Hardy, okay. You can go to the Masters, and you have to go with Sarge."
"Hardy, that is a trip that people would beg to go for life."
"Yeah."
"And then with me? Oh, hell yeah. No. You kidding me?
I will go to the Masters with my wife, and however it ends up working out, she and I will go together. That's it.
One room, two beds. You, Sarge, the Masters, reasonable costs."
Hardy can still get after it. He can still drink.
Oh, Jesus. you know next to nothing. It's unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
No, you wouldn't do it, though, huh?
All right, to the takeaways we go.
I don't drink. I haven't for years.
I might sell you a pair. I might sell you the pair, though, so they could be yours if I don't go. All right, we'll talk a deal. I may not go, so you could have two tickets, Hardy.
And end up being in Sarge's debt.
Hey, don't forget.
Even worse.
Hooked up with the Masters. I know. I think that would be worse.
I would not do that.
We had some You're calls today with some suggestions for Hardy's backyard.
And by the way, if you buy them from your buddy, they're not yours to sell. That's not how that works.
I would get permission from him first.
Okay.
Yes.
Suggestions for Hardy's backyard.
Yes.
A pool that blows water at you, it says here. Ball, New Hampshire. Ball.
Hey, how you doing? This is what they call a swim tub. It's half hot tub, half swim. You can control the wave that comes out of it, and you swim towards the wave, so you can do laps. You could have a hot tub and to soothe your joints. You could do salt water.
Salt water. You have salt water, Hardy.
I don't have sore joints.
Well, whatever. You will sooner or later. Wait until you get my age.
All right. Well.
I use one, and it's nice to go soak once in a while. And
how big is it? How big is your pool tub thing?
It's like 20 long by like 10 wide, and one end is specific for, it's got chairs with all kinds of jets in it, so it massages your back, your feet, all that stuff.
Yeah, what's the most amount of people you've had in there?
You can turn the swim thing off. You can turn it on. You can turn it up.
Hey,
more.
Kids, why don't you go outside and get yourself a nice foot massage?
How many people have you had in there at one time? What's the most people you've had in there? You had a party in there yet?
Six, but usually it's just me and my wife. That's why the salt water keeps it clean, but it's really not that much maintenance.
Okay.
No different than a pool, but less because you don't have to dig a hole. And you could turn the temp down. You could turn it up. You could put wherever you want.
I blame you for this. You're going to tell me to put a bocce court in next to it.
The
was one of the best calls all day.
I get pissed off all over again with the length of that. No,
no,
I don't. Talking about the kids. This is for the kids. He's like, yeah, put in a pool that blows water at you. You got a foot massage. Daddy, I'm bored. Why don't you go out and soothe your joints then, young ones? It's not about joint soothing.
You know what it is? I think it's because you didn't want to pay for something like that.
That's
out of your budget.
I'm cheap.
Yeah, like this guy. Let's go to Eric and Lynn. I really like what he's about to say. Oh. Eric, what do you got?
Hey, that's what I was saying before. Yeah, he's a... I know. No, he's a cheap prick anyways. I like him.
Eric.
Yeah, well, I already... Hello?
Eric.
Yeah, who's cheap?
Who's a cheap prick?
Hey, I got an idea.
We never found out who the cheap prick is.
Well, I'll tell you who it is. Eric, my guess is a contractor, and who he's talking about is every customer that every contractor has. Yeah. That's how they're referred to as soon as you get off the phone with them.
Well, I don't care if he wants me there tomorrow. He's a cheap prick.
Trying to cut corners on this job. Yeah, don't listen to him. He's a cheap prick anyway.
Oh. I'm thinking about the shed. I priced out one shed while we were, in a commercial break there,
yeah,
Beetle.
Yeah.
Might have to downsize the size of the shed.
No, don't listen, Hardy. When you're getting a shed, you don't want to restrict yourself like that.
I don't need to go 18 by 24.
Oh, that's massive.
Okay, well.
You know how big that is?
Yeah, it's like another house.
No. It's
bigger than that guy's 20 foot by 10 foot hot tub.
Bigger than the menstruation hut we have right now, I can tell you that.
Hardy, we'll talk. Okay, because right. At Reed's Ferry, they take care of you start to finish. Maz knows all about it.
It's like having Zoe here.
Maz and Jones and Hook next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.